590. The Fan.
We are back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Justin Cuthbert, Ailish Forfar. Pleased to be joined now by someone we both worked with. Former member of the Fan Morning Show, now member of the Fan Drive Time. That's none other than Blake Murphy, who requested this music. Can I ask why? The significance, Blake?
Oh, no significance. Just everyone doing their Spotify Wrapped and stuff, and that was my top song. So when Austin asked me, I had not given it a lot of thought. Also, you guys have been playing me in the last couple times with a wrestler's entrance music, and he's gotten too evil. I don't want to be associated with it. Needed to mix up the vibe there.
So I'm not a Spotify Wrapped guy. I would be too embarrassed.
You're not a music guy, right?
I'm not. I would be way too embarrassed to even show my playlist. But I feel like this is the worst day on Twitter for a non-music guy like myself.
Yeah. I didn't post mine.
Congratulations, you like Taylor Swift. Like, that's all I'm seeing. Taylor Swift, number one. It's like you have to prove to everyone that you're a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, or that you're not a Taylor Swift fan.
I guess.
People who are like, have a Spotify. It's like the old running joke that, you know, the band Brand New, who you're not supposed to like anymore, but a lot of people my age grew up on. Like, if you could see what people were listening to when they turned their Spotify on private, they would be at the top of everyone's Spotify rap.
Oh, can you do that? Can you private your Spotify?
You can, but I don't know if it affects your rap or not. I've never. Anyway, I'm with you.
My theory is that people are curating their own Spotify raps rather than actually listening to what they want to listen to. And if you can privatize it, I'm sure this is what's going on.
Maybe it's I don't do that, but I also didn't post my Spotify raps and stuff. It's a weird day because, like, you get musicians posting a lot about how poorly Spotify treats them, which is absolutely true. But also, like, I stream music and I know artists don't get a lot of money from it, but I also, like, go to concerts and buy the physical media and stuff. So I'm with you, Justin. It becomes a bit of a weird kind of irritating day on social media. But Austin asked me for a song, and that was at the top of my list.
So. Well, I'm glad someone's with me, a hater of Spotify Rap Day. Anyway, let's get to the Raptors and some serious road woes. 3-8 now on the season on the road after dropping a pretty ugly one in New Orleans. What say you? What's the problem here on the road?
I don't think there's anything to the home road splits. Like, this is so early on. There was also a weird split until last week where they had only won weeknight games and they'd lost every game on the weekend. It's a little bit of a noise this early on. I will say, though, there was something to that game last night where, for whatever reason, they just didn't have it at all. Fred VanVleet tossed early. Scotty Barnes with one of the worst games you can remember him having, other than Gary Trent, you know, the bench not really coming through and things like that. It was, it hasn't always been this ugly, but yeah, there's a bit of an issue getting up for games, especially early on. You could see past it a little bit when they were dealing with all the injuries, but even before all the injuries, this was one of the worst first quarter teams in basketball. So something's got to change in how they come out of the gate.
Yeah, yesterday was disappointing. And I think mostly because they had such a great start to their return to health. They had last game with, you know, this excitement that Pascal was back with his big drop of his preview of him coming back to action. And then it was a bit of a dud. And I don't like that there's the lack of momentum now from that. But let's start with Scotty Barnes. Yesterday, as you said, probably one of the worst games that we've seen from him so far. His response to coming off the bench wasn't as positive as maybe Gary Trent's was, who said that, hey, I got nothing. I got to prove myself here. I haven't earned anything in this league, and he's done so coming off the bench. Anything in the comments that when you cross-examine those two that make you think that Scotty maybe has a little bit more going on there behind the scenes?
Not necessarily. I've thought, you know, Scotty Barnes, that kind of energy and positivity and enthusiasm that everyone loved him for so much last year, it hasn't quite been there, and that's normal. Like, you're a sophomore now, you're the reigning rookie of the year, defenses are more geared into you, there are higher expectations, the kind of shiny newness of the league has worn off, and Nick Nurse has talked even pre-injury about them needing more of that kind of infectious energy from Scotty Barnes. And that was why, you know, ideal world, what do you, if you have a PR person writing Scotty Barnes's quotes after that Cleveland game, he says something like, yeah, well, I've come off the bench before in college and I came off the bench in the playoffs last year. And this is just a way for me to impact the game with my energy in a different way. At the same time, I'm fine with a guy wanting to start. You want your players to be hungry. I just think, I don't know, he's going through something right now, at least offensively, and the playmaking's been there. It stands in pretty stark contrast when you see back-to-back games against Evan Mobley and Zion Williamson. And obviously, Zion Williamson is in another class in terms of physicality and burst and those things. But even an Evan Mobley, who is thinner than Scotty Barnes and probably not as strong, a little bit more of a nose for the paint and a nose for trying to get to the rim and the free throw line, whereas Scotty Barnes's offense has skewed a little more passive. So probably mostly just a second year player going through it a little bit, but it's been a tough road. And that game against Cleveland where he came off the bench, I thought was a step in the right direction. And then last night, absolutely back the other way.
It may not be possible to have something for that version of Zion Williamson, but didn't we fancy the Raptors as a team that would have something for Zion Williamson?
I was super curious to see what that would look like. And look, when Zion Williamson gets ahead of steam, there is no answer. You could have five Joel Embiids or Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Zion would just plow through them like a workhorse running back. So there are two things you're trying to do. You're trying to not let the New Orleans Pelicans get out in transition and in semi-transition, and the Raptors didn't do a good enough job of that. New Orleans didn't score a ton in transition, but the Raptors still had, you know, a little bit more of a clumsy game with the ball than we normally expect from them. The other thing is when the game slows down and you're in the half court, you know, you could try to let OG Anunoby guard him or Scotty Barnes guard him. And I'm all for getting a couple possessions that way. But the idea, especially when the Pelicans have no Brandon Ingram, no CJ McCollum, is you want to send a lot of bodies his way as soon as he catches the ball. And we've seen the Raptors do that successfully with Giannis in the past, with Joel Embiid in the past. And it's really the second he catches it, get in at his hands, because Zion is a good playmaker, but he's not yet kind of this hub that New Orleans runs everything through. I didn't think they did a good enough job making him uncomfortable last night and really like gave him time to catch the ball, process, attack, where, you know, it's hard. You're going to take a beating doing this, but you really got to get in underneath Zion as soon as he gets the ball in the half court.
It's not really fair to compare anyone to Zion, but when you look at Scotty Barnes and the physical traits that he has, you know, there are some unicorn qualities there as well. And I wonder, when you look in your crystal ball, do you ever see like the athleticism flowing for Scotty like it seems to for Zion? Like it's so connected with Zion and so natural. And with Scotty, I still feel like there's a little bit more thought, a little bit more connecting this move with that move or this mindset with this mindset. It just doesn't seem to flow. And again, this is a second year player. Zion's still a young guy as well. And it is coming naturally to him, of course. But when you look at the future, can Scotty pull in some of the traits, pull in some of the dominance that we've seen from Zion here, at least we saw with him yesterday, and look similar?
Some of, for sure. Scotty's not going to be, you know, Zion physically. And like you mentioned, Zion's in his fourth year, and he also had, you know, a year being a hub in college as well. So it's not going to be exactly the same. And I think part of why Scotty looks sometimes like he's processing a little bit more is that he's trying to do those things. He's trying to be a playmaker first. And that's kind of natural to him to look for fun passes and ways to help teammates, whereas Zion's passing, and it's gotten very good, is more of a react to what the defense is doing to you. So it's just a little bit different in terms of how they're trying to come about their assists. The biggest thing I would take from it is not even the physicality necessarily, but that nose for trying to get to the rim, where for a guy his size and his athleticism, Scotty Barnes doesn't get to the rim a ton. He's kind of just like average for a forward and getting to the rim. You'd like to see that a little bit more. He doesn't finish very well around the rim, and that's where Zion is like he lives, right? He's always at the rim or the free throw line. So I think some of that is he's got to learn how to play into contact where, you know, we saw it with Pascal Siakam where for a long time it was he's always trying to avoid contact. It's a spin move here and up and under there because he doesn't want to have to finish through contact or maybe doesn't trust himself to. And now he's at a point where he can stack free throw attempts on top of everything else he's doing because he knows when to exploit that contact. That's part of Scottie Barnes's learning. It should, in theory, get easier now that Pascal Siakam's back because he'll get a little less defensive attention. But yeah, in terms of the Zion comparison, to me, it's more about the kind of mentality and the level of aggression more than anything physical.
We're speaking with Blake Murphy, host of Fan Drive Time, who's our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Okay, we touched on it a bit. Gary Trent, maybe one of few that actually showed up yesterday in the big, massive loss that the Raptors laid. I was listening to Will Liu post-game, and he brought up a really great point that Gary has had quite the professional response to coming off the bench. Not only is it a professional response, but he's really put up some good numbers, and he's really focused on his defense, and you can tell that he's taken this, you know, public abuse in a sense from Nick Nurse and use it as motivation. You're liking him better off the bench, and if so, is that somewhere that maybe they kind of keep him for a little bit?
Not only do I like him better off the bench, I have always maintained that he would be better off the bench. Ailish, that's a conversation me, you, and JD had on the Fan Morning Show last year. It's something Will and I have talked about a lot on the Raptors show on Tuesdays. I think his offensive skill set just fits better as a come in and give us some points off the bench guy. I think the way the Raptors bench is constructed really needs a guy like Gary Trent Jr., whereas you can, you know, survive with a Thad Young or a Christian Coloco in the starting lineup because the rest of the guys in the starting lineup can create offense and create offense for themselves. The bench doesn't have anyone like that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that lets Gary Trent play against slightly lesser defenders. It lets him defend slightly lesser offensive players. And you look around the league and who are the players who are most like Gary Trent? And it's a lot of guys who thrive in a bench scorer role. Tyler Hero, you know, Jamal Crawford is a fun older comp. Jordan Clarkson, guys like that, where it's not a negative for every type of player to come off the bench. Some guys just, you know, there's a Sixth Man of the Year award for a reason. Norman Powell has been around that conversation in the past too. It's because sometimes the whole 48 minutes flows a little better if you change up the starters. I think Gary Trent can still close games. You see his three-point shooting since Pascal Siakam returned, and those two have a bit of a chemistry. I think this is something that was a little overdue to try, and it's probably something, well, it's something I want to see more of. I think it's probably something they'll try to give legs to here and try a couple more games.
Do you think the fact that it's a contract year is going to make him feel a little bit less satisfied with that because he's coming off the bench instead of being a starter? Or does that not resonate at all?
It might a little bit just because there is a, you know, even if starter versus bench doesn't matter a ton in reality, there is still an optics element to that. It's a little harder to get, you know, 34, 35 minutes off the bench. Most elite bench guys top out around like 28, 29 minutes. So there's a little bit there. But if I were him, I'd look around the league at like a Jordan Poole or a Tyler Hero or even a Duncan Robinson before that. Guys who can come in and get you points off the bench, especially guys who could shoot the three like Gary Trent, they're going to get paid. And I know Michael Grange with you guys the other day or with JD, I can't remember which one it was, but he threw out a pretty big number for a Gary Trent possible contract.
But what was it?
It was like $120 million over 4 years or something like that. It was like basically the Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole framework. Anyway, if you're Gary Trent, you can look at that and be pretty optimistic. If I'm the Raptors, I'm looking at that and I'm probably not thrilled about giving him that deal. It might be a see you later. Congrats on getting that kind of money. But yeah, if you're Gary Trent, I think the most important thing right now is you get back to playing well, and then the role will fall where it is. Bench guys still get paid.
Let's shift to the Blue Jays very quickly here. Big news yesterday, announced a minute after we went off the air with Don Mattingly announced as the bench coach under John Schneider. Blake, what's sort of your take on the dynamic that forms between Schneider and Mattingly, and why do you think he thought this was the best situation for him?
It's interesting to think why it's the best situation, right? This is a guy who's managed in the majors for the last decade plus. I would imagine there were opportunities out there for him. We know there were opportunities out there for him on the media side, as Yes Network kind of tries to beef up their stuff with more ex-Yankees. I think part of it is maybe, you know, take kind of a gap year before you re-enter the manager free agent market. Like at this point in the offseason, there aren't many openings left, and there probably aren't many that are going to open back up. So you take a year with a team that's likely a playoff team, in a bench coach role where you can still keep those managerial skills sharp. He's also 61. He might just like not want the grind of obviously the physical schedule grind is the same, but the talking to the media every day and that part of the grind, we'll see. In terms of the dynamic, I think it's great that John Schneider has someone with that level of experience, both as a player and a manager. John Schneider is not a perfect comparable for this because Schneider came up through the minors and has managed at every level. But one thing that's always stood out to me about the coaches who really succeed in the NBA as first-time coaches, and this applies to Nick Nurse, it applies to Steve Kerr, it applies to a handful of people, is having that level of confidence and self-assuredness to load up your staff with a lot of really good assistants. Because, yeah, if things go poorly, that means your replacement might be sitting on your own bench. But the best way to make sure things don't go poorly is to have a really, really good staff around you. So I like the fit. You know, I know Jays fans aren't the most fond of Mattingly from his time as both a manager and a division rival. But I think this will help John Schneider a lot. I think it'll help guys like Vlad and Bo a lot. This is a guy who, you know, isn't in the Hall of Fame, but had a pretty close statistical case and has been through the rigors as a manager as well.
Last one on the Blue Jays here. Not only were they in the headlines for that, but our buddy John Morosi always has us in mind when he puts out little trade rumors. Lars Nootbaar, maybe Danny Jansen being floated around. What do you make of maybe a Lars Nootbaar fit, and would you want to get rid of someone like Danny Jansen?
I'm not as eager to move a catcher as some people. Like, I think if you enter the season with those three catchers, it's not the ideal roster construction, but it's not the worst. You need three catchers over the course of the year. There's some positional versatility there with Moreno. Realistically, though, that catcher position is your best path to making a trade for a player who's maybe not very expensive and helps you. You know, if you want to spend the remaining budget on pitching help, say an Andrew Haney, then your only path to improving the outfield really is through trade. So I think the Cardinals have stood out as a natural fit for a trade for a while because they have surplus outfielders, whether it's Nootbaar or Dylan Carlson or, you know, a number of other guys they have there. It's kind of them and San Diego as the teams with surplus at areas the Jays need and maybe a need a catcher. So yeah, Nootbaar would be a fit. Like he's only 25. He's a ways from free agency still. He's a left-handed hitter. Doesn't hit for a ton of average, but he's a good OBP guy. Like he's walked a lot at every level of the minors and as a rookie. You know, when we look at the stats that kind of take all your contributions and adjust for league factors, he was pretty good. He was about 25% above league average at the plate, and that's while playing a pretty good defensive outfield. Now, he's not a full-time center fielder. He played a lot more in the corners. We'd have to see what that looks like over a bigger sample, but 25-year-old lefty with some outfield versatility and a good walk rate, you know, he's not going to drop into the middle of the lineup like a Brandon Nimmo might, but really solid all-around player who, again, won't cost you nearly what Brandon Nimmo will cost you.
We are just over an hour and a half away from Canada's final World Cup match against Morocco. Would you come on the air for Fan Drive Time later? Blake, do you suspect you'll be talking about a positive result?
Yeah, I suspect I'm going to be talking about Canada's first result in World Cup history. Hopefully a couple goals in there as well. I think this could be a fun one. And I guess prediction for the game, if I were to have one, is I think we get a Kyle Larin goal. It makes too much sense for the all-time leading scorer in program history to get one at the World Cup.
Well, we got the Wake and Rake next, so we will see if we can pinpoint a number for Larin and see if there's any valuable bets to be made on what could be an exciting and maybe a pressure relief type of situation for Canada. Maybe they can settle into the World Cup now that I guess the World Cup is technically over for them. Enjoy the match, and we'll be listening to you on Fan Drive Time later on. That's Blake Murphy.
Have a good one, guys.
Blake Murphy, co-host, Fan Drive Time, liking a Kyle Larin goal today.
I'm looking for it right now.
Well, let's get to it after the break. We got the we got a short break. We'll get to the wake and rake. I got picks for every single World Cup game today.
Of course.
I don't know if you want that, but I got them.
All right.
We'll do that with the wake and rake. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's The Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for wake and rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money.
With Ailish and Justin.
I think before we wake and rake, we need to address the ride or go for situation. We really sparked. Sometimes we just pick something that the text line pulls out their phone and they're like, oh, I have a take on this. And I must not wait to express my thoughts. So
I actually kind of think it's pretty simple what happened. We didn't explain it that well. And there are two things.
This was you.
Me. There is a rider, which is the collection of things requested. And then there's the gopher who runs out and gets the things requested for the rider.
So everybody's kind of right.
I think everyone's right, except me. I was wrong in my explanation, which I didn't. What did I call it before? A runner? So yeah. That was the problem. I said runner. That implies there's a person doing the running of the errands. But really, I was trying to get to rider. Gopher is the runner. Therein lies the confusion.
I will say I chickened out on reading this one to Blake. It's Ryan from Caledon. I bet you $500 to your favorite charity that Blake will know the difference between a gopher and a rider. If he doesn't know, $500 to your favorite charity. If he knows, you have to get me a set of Leaf tickets.
He would have known.
So I just...
I feel like he's sampled riders many a time. Like, he's hanging out with bands and green rooms.
Yeah, he knows all this
stuff. I
feel
like that's a thing that happens.
Somebody just texted in. Tell me why I thought Ryder Cup and that gophers were messing up the course. Whew. All right.
We'll revisit that in September.
We'll revisit that. Okay, so it's time for the wake and rake. We've got Canada, Morocco at 10 a.m. And we have... Thursday night football, a real matchup for the first time in a long time. Bills and Patriots at Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
A big old matchup, big old rivalry game between them. And a couple other World Cup bets, which I'm sure Justin has his pulse on.
I got four. Ready to go.
Randomly just one NBA game tonight. Okay.
Don't want to mess with Bills Pats.
That's true. And Couple NHL to run down. So we have a bunch of wake and rake submissions in the text line, but let's start with you and your World Cup.
Okay. I'll go descending order in terms of like fun to least fun.
Okay.
My most fun one is a +800. Both teams to score and Canada wins. Canada, Morocco. We get a 2-1 Canada. Larin goal. We get a Davies goal. We allow one because let's just face it, we're not, you know, the pinnacle of defensive football. So Canada wins and both teams to score, +800.
Larin's +350, by the way, to score anytime.
Beautiful. Let's go to the other game in the group, Croatia and Belgium. I will take Croatia to win and both teams to score, +450. Couple nice price tags there.
Okay.
Like, I'm not saying they're all going to win, but if one of those wins, we're doing quite well. The next one in the afternoon, Spain to win to nil over Japan, +120. And then my wake and rake selection, -110, Germany and Costa Rica under 3.5 goals. It's an alternate because I think it's 250 or 2.5, but the actual even money one is -110 at 3.5. Germany has had an awful time scoring. Costa Rica, lucky to have the one goal that they had. They got a victory out of it. But I feel like Germany's just kind of going to be frustrated, maybe a nil-nil at the break. Get one in about the 70th minute, maybe pour another one in. Germany wins. They don't have to score a ton of goals to advance. They just got to win and hope for some help, like not have Spain lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like Germany to win a low-scoring game. And if I'm going to get 3.5 goals, -110,
that's
my pick.
All right, we do have a Wake and Rake text in here about the World Cup. Just one, because they know. Just two, actually, because they know that this is your
it's my domain.
Canada win 2-1. Exact scores plus 2,000. That's your just $5 of the day.
There you go.
Didn't sign their name on the text, but I love it.
I mean, that would be probably, like, you could split the unit because that's what I'm going for with the plus 800.
Exactly.
But again, if Canada scores a third and you're not going to be able to celebrate it because you lost your bet,
yeah,
it's going to suck.
That's not a happiness hedge, a little bit. And the final Wake and Rake submission here for World Cup is Juliana. Juliana's pick today will come from the World Cup because there's no Golden State Warriors playing. She likes Spain to win versus Japan. Spain needs a win to stay atop of Group E, and they are the better team. Spain to win to nil.
That's
plus
what I got.
112.
I'm sharing a brain with Juliana.
All right.
We could get real aggressive and make that the anchor.
No, the anchor has been selected by
two World Cup picks.
Way too many people. But I like that. Thanks, Juliana. Juliana with the variety. All right, that's your World Cup bets for today. Thank you, Justin.
Any Thursday night football?
Any Thursday night football. All Thursday night football.
Any opinion on the game before we get to the end?
Yes, Bills got to win this.
I think Bills and the over is pretty good.
Okay.
I like the over.
I like that as well. But yes, it's a must win for them. And the Patriots are, what, in last place of their division?
I should say.
There's still a chance for them. And, you know,
certainly,
Bill
they're still a competitive team. 3.5, the Bills on the road, and the total is 43.
And that's gone down a lot. It was Bills 5.5.
Yeah, I don't get it.
A couple days ago. Now it's 3.5. I mean, I like Bills on the spread.
Yeah, now that it's dropped down, especially getting the number, key number of 4.
Yep.
I can't play the Patriots at that number.
All right, so let me read you a bunch of Thursday night football bets. Ron and Markham, good morning. Let's start December off on a winning foot. I take the Bills 3.5 over the Patriots. The Bills are a better team all around, and this is a big divisional game that they can't afford to lose. Couldn't agree more. This is one that you're going to hear many times. Jeg and Scarborough. Wake and Rake tonight is I go with Josh Allen over rushing yards. He smashed that the last two games.
You and Jeg and Scarborough comparing notes before.
I could be Jeg and Scarborough texting
in. You mentioned that earlier.
We are the same. Here's another one. Josh Allen over rushing yards. Patriots will look to take away Diggs in this one. Cold night in Foxborough is not going to feel good on that elbow. Allen should touch 50 yards on the ground in a new style of offense they've been showing. That's Big Mac.
We've had success with Allen on the ground before.
Yeah,
did our other Wake and Rake win based on that?
Well, I won that bet for sure, and you were like, I don't know. And then he, like, literally had 75 in the first minute.
I thought the Bills would be, like, maybe somewhat conscious of the fact that
their star quarterback. Josh Allen over rushing right now is the lock of the day. I'm just going to read a couple more.
Yep.
Good morning. Big win for Mexico yesterday. Today, I like Josh Allen over rushing yards.
Sorry, Corey from Port Hope.
The Patriots gave up 107 rushing yards to Lamar Jackson and 82 rushing yards to Justin Fields already this year. Seems like they can struggle to contain mobile quarterbacks. Josh Allen over rushing yards seems like a great play tonight. Corey in Port Hope.
Clear leader in the clubhouse.
I believe that's all of the Josh Allen over rushing yards, but most likely that's going to be our pick. We have another Josh Allen one here. Anchor pick is Josh Allen interception at minus 140. We know that this has been a point of contention. He's thrown 11 this year. New England is fifth in the NFL, averaging 1.6 interceptions per game. That's Jay in St. Catharines. I know it won't be popular, but I'm most loyal to my wallet.
I'm going to work on a little same game parlay based on what we've got in the text line here. If it's rushing for Allen, mm-hmm. interception over Bills cover. Let's see what we can cook up here.
Somebody texted in this. You can parlay both Mac Jones and Josh Allen to get an interception. I love that. It's probably going to hit. sadly, a couple more for tonight's game, Thursday Night Football. Ailish, how do you work the game until 10 and get up for the show? You're an inspiration. Also, shout out to the guy in Section 105 who brought his own Doritos in. Another inspiration. Well, guys, I lost it all last night. Looks like I'm back to work. It was nice to be retired for one day. I'm the Tom Brady of sports betting without the success, only the good looks. Today, let's break open the piggy bank for the over in the Bills-Patriots game. Don't be surprised if Bill Belichick takes over under center of Mac, can't get it done. He'll do whatever it takes to get his team in the playoffs. That's Matt in Toronto, as always.
I, too, marvel at your ability to work Leaf games.
Here's another one. Morning, guys. Zion killed the Raptors last night. I'm going Bills money line over New England. Tonight could be Bills -3.5. I would stay away from the World Cup.
Well, that's you.
One more from Thursday Night Football. Devontae Parker over 35.5 yards. He's hit this mark in the last two games seems to be low. Two catches and hits the over. That's Jer Bear from Barry. Haven't heard from Jer Bear in a while. Those were all your Thursday night football bets.
And quickly, I got them sort of summarized. If you go Bills 3.5, over 43.5, Allen interception, and over 44.5 rushing yards, plus 850. You want to add that Devontae Parker? You're looking at like a plus 1,600, 1,700.
Can I give you one that I want to add into that before you round that up? If we're doing a same game parlay?
That's it. Right there.
I'd like to add one.
Okay.
That I thought about, well, my wake and rake submission was going to be Josh Allen over rushing yards, but we're going to give that as the anchor. I also like Devin Singletary over rushing attempts. He's been underrated in Buffalo in the offense here, and he's been going over that rushing attempts number in five of his last six games, including three straight coming into tonight. So if you put Devin Singletary over rushing attempts, I think it's at 12.5. Add that into the parlay.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Wait, right. Is that your wake and rake? Or
no,
for the
I'm just giving you like a free one.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to add, obviously, Josh Allen over rushing yards because 75 people texted that in.
Yep.
That's done. Our anchor pick for today. All right. A couple more anchors to read here. Ron and Markham had a bonus just $5. Phil Kessel returning to Pittsburgh to score. I like that a lot. Morning, guys. Giovanni from Brampton. Picks are 2 for 2 since I started texting in. Let's see if we can keep it going. Sticking to the NBA, Luka in primetime standalone games likes to show off, playing the lowly Pistons. I'm taking the Mavs -7.5. Hopefully we can make it 2 parlays this week.
Giovanni's always fading the Pistons.
He hates the Pistons. all right, Parlay Poppy with a big text here. Parlay Poppy with some Christmas cheer. I'm in my bag like Santa Claus. Told Rudolph about my parlay today, and his nose lit up like a light bulb. First off, I have a Dallas parlay for Justin. Mavericks money line, Dallas Stars money line, and Texas money line in college basketball.
You know I'm there, Parlay Poppy. Say no more.
As for my 590 pick, I'm taking the Bills on the spread -3.5. New England doesn't have much offense. As much as their defense can keep up the Jets to under 7 points, they aren't fading the Jets. They aren't facing the Jets, sorry. They're playing the big bad Bills. After the win, I'll be climbing a ladder and jumping through a table Buffalo style. Got to test out the body and see how they can handle being 32 now. Hopefully they don't break anything as life doesn't come with a warranty. Parlay Poppy.
Okay.
One more for you. Lots today, sorry.
Emptying the clip.
Good morning. Kraken and Bills money line for the wake and rake. That's Jeff in Oakville. That's it.
Okay.
So far we got Josh Allen over 44.5 anchor pick. What will you be selecting?
I'm in there with my Germany and Costa Rica under 3.5.
Okay. Locking that in. And so I debated what I wanted to do here. I wanted the Josh Allen rushing yards. No problem. I'm going to move on to a staple, a boring pick, but a lockety lock, as J.D. Bunkus likes to say. The Dallas Stars are playing the lowly of lowly. And Jason Robertson has been one of the best players this season, a Hart Trophy candidate. They're playing the Anaheim Ducks. I just like him over shots, folks. Boring, but just do it. Over 3.5 shots. Other than last game was a blip. 5, 6, 8, 7. He puts the puck on the net and gets points. So lock that in as my parlay selection. Over 3.5 shots, Jason Robertson.
Okay, so Robertson shots, Germany and Costa Rica under 3.5, and Josh Allen rushing yards over 44.5?
It is 44.5.
There you go. That's the wake and rake.
I am struggling to find the
we'll give it two and a half because
I'm seeing it at 3.5. goals.
I'm 3.5.
Yeah, I'm seeing it at 2.5.
Yeah, you got to go to an alt line. So we'll get you the actual number on the wake and rake on the other side. The same game parlay before we go to break. Again, Bills 3.5, over 43.5 on the total. Josh Allen over 0.5 interceptions and Allen over 44.5 rushing yards. Actually, and you can also add Devin Singletary over 12.5 rushing attempts. That's going to give you a plus 2,000. And you have the official wake and rake number.
Plus 492.
I thought it'd be better than that.
Eh, whatever. That's my Jason Robertson kind of dragging it down, but whatever. Okay. We need to win. All right, that's your wake and rake for today. We'll be back after the break to do our bookends of the show on this Baby Friday. Justin and Ailish on the Fan Morning Show.
Sportsnet 590.
It's your last Canada World Cup game day for quite a few years. Canada-Morocco at 10 a.m. today. the bookend of our show and the bookend of their World Cup in Qatar. The starting lineup was just announced.
By the way, before we get to that, this would be on my Spotify Wrapped.
That's why. Tell the that's listeners what it is, because the Lipa podcast can't hear it.
Yeah, I was.
He was bobbing his head.
That's the only reason why
Justin
I said it.
Justin bobbed his head. We got it. Congrats, Justin.
Very exciting.
The ability to bob.
But also why I wouldn't admit to anything.
It is a great tune. Dua Lipa came out of, she was the quarantine queen, and now she's an absolute pop star. So people love the Dua Lipa.
Okay, let's get to the lineup.
Okay, so Canada, Morocco, 10 a.m. The lineup was just announced. Nice of them to not do it at 9:01 like the Blue Jays. Who's in?
Okay, we got the lineup here. Milan Bojan is unexpectedly the starting keeper. On the back line, Alistair Johnson, Sam Adekubi, Kamal Miller, Steven Vitoria, Junior Hoylett, I guess kind of midfield there. No real surprises there, I suppose. The surprises, however, are in the midfield. We got Tejan Buchanan, Marc-Anthony Kay, Jonathan Osorio, which leaves out both Steven Eustachio and Atiba Hutchinson. And then up front, Alphonso Davies, Kyle Larin. So no Jonathan David in the starting lineup, and a big change to the midfield here with no Eustachio, probably due to injury. He hadn't been training with the team. Mm-hmm. And no Atiba Hutchinson, the captain, not starting in this match. That could be performance, that could be health, because he's been dealing with, I guess, issues on both fronts. But for now, we got Bojan, Johnson, Adekubi, Miller, Vitoria, Hoylett, Buchanan, Kay making his first appearance, I believe, Larin, Davies, and our guy, Jonathan Osorio.
Quickly, this is just posted, so you scroll through the Canada soccer responses and outraged that Marc-Anthony Kay is starting.
Okay.
Quote, massive joke. I didn't feel that way initially, but that's what the fans are thinking. Well, people are fired up already.
You can only do so much if you don't have another option, if Eustachio is not available to you, if Atiba Hutchinson is not available, or we're just reacting to his performance. Mm-hmm. There's only so much you can do. That's one of the weaknesses with this team is the midfield, and they're going with one of the healthier bodies, I guess.
Here's something that I pondered before I knew the starting lineup, and I wrote this in there last night. So this is the last opportunity for Canada at the World Cup for a few years, as we mentioned. If you're John Herdman, I feel like there's a bit of a conflict coming into today's game, because you could address it as a win at all costs. Canada needing to make a statement here, get a result. All of Canada's got our eyes on what happens here to end this tournament. Somewhat of a disappointing appearance, however you view it. They've got the goal, but will they get the point? Do you set your lineup as a win at all costs, or are you trying to balance some loyalty to some of your guys? There's 9 as of this morning that hadn't started yet.
Oh, we can't do that.
I know, but John Herdman sometimes asks players if they want to keep playing. Maybe he's got a little bit of a loyalty to put some guys in. And I did some research on this, and last night he said that this is one of the most difficult decisions he's had to make. Mm-hmm. And one substitute came to his hotel room, he didn't name who it is, and was really emotional. The player, someone unnamed who had been with the program for 6 or 7 years, told Herdman that the choice is up to him. And if it's between the result for the team or a minute in the sun for him, then Herdman should choose a team. So people are clearly...
Well, let's be honest here. Yeah.
Yes, but the fact you have to go to John Herdman's hotel room and like emotionally lay this out for him, I think there's a lot more going into the decision of who to play in this game, because it means nothing for Canada. It does mean a lot for Morocco. They have plenty to play for. If they get a point, they secure a place in the round of 16 with a win. It would put them on the top of the group. Therefore, they avoid Group E's expected winner, which is Spain. So a lot for Morocco to play for. How do you address this if you're John Herdman? I know you just saw the starting lineup, but do you have any of these same ponderings?
Well, I guess the only thing I can glean is that they went with a little bit more experience, because I think if there's one thing you could get angry about, and clearly their people are upset with the Marc-Anthony Kay start, it's that you didn't go young. You didn't go with Ishmael Kone if it wasn't going to be Eustachio or Atiba Hutchinson. So maybe he just feels like Kone's not on that level yet. He's one of the younger guys. He hasn't made his big move yet. He has a lot of developing still to do. We've seen him at this World Cup already. But we're going with Kay probably from an experience standpoint, because you're losing two of your more experienced guys, at least on the international stage and in big club football matches, guys who have been in the Champions League for a while, with both Atiba Hutchinson and Eustáquio unavailable, or at least we could assume based on the lineup. So it looks like maybe that's scratching the back a little bit, but maybe it's just, hey, we need to make sure that we're not going to get inexperienced here. And if you got Kone out there, maybe that falls into that spot. I think the biggest thing is no Jonathan David.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the guy who is supposed to be, you know, like
goal scorer.
He's one of the more, most talented striker in the group, mm-hmm. was some of the stuff with Romelu Lukaku out for Belgium. Like one of the guys that was supposed to be, if you get an opportunity, he's going to put it in. And him not being in this lineup today, after maybe getting the penalty taken from him in the first match, not performing well at all against Croatia, it's one of the big, big disappointments here is Jonathan David's World Cup. This is a guy pegged for a move potentially to the English Premier League or a big, big club in Europe, and this hasn't gone his way. He can still come up off the bench and maybe have his moment, but right now, if you're looking at like the most impactful things here, it's Jonathan David not having his World Cup and now not being in this lineup. I wonder, this is revisionist, but if Davies doesn't take that ball away from him and he puts that in,
how different things could have been.
How different, Justin, this World Cup could have been.
Well, just think about not only for him, but for Canada.
For him.
For the momentum
of
the tournament.
Definitely. But if they go up 1-0 in that game, they manage to hold on, maybe the game changes hugely and they get the same treatment that Croatia gave to Canada, Belgium gives to Canada. Mm-hmm. But still, it would have shaped this differently.
It's,
and again,
you say that.
Again, it's not fair.
Right.
But it would have been different for Jonathan David for sure if he took that penalty and put it in.
It does feel like when they finally scored the first goal and Alfonso Davies got that opportunity, we thought, well, now we won't have to talk about the missed penalty kick. But now the final game of the tournament, we're looking back at that missed penalty kick and who could have taken it, how that could have shaped everything. So I don't know if we're ever going to stop thinking about that missed penalty kick, especially with David and now Davies having a little bit of a different, you know, end to their World Cup here.
If you like Blake Murphy's pick for Kyle Larin, I guess this opened things up a little bit for Larin. Maybe he'll be playing in a more natural striker position today with David not in the starting lineup. Maybe opens things up for Alfonso Davies a little bit more as well. If there's, you know, they were running three, you know, really attack-minded players up there for a while with Osorio, Kay, and Buchanan, maybe there's a little bit less of that.
What do you want from today?
I want a result. I want to feel good about this World Cup. I want my plus 800 to cash. I want to see, what I'd love to see is a goal and then minutes spent protecting the goal well. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have
like
to win this 2-1.
Being able to adjust your game plan, which is something they didn't do.
Or getting down and doing what Mexico did yesterday and looking good doing
show it. Show some adjustments.
An adjustment would be great because we've seen really good starts in both games. And then the change changes them. It'd be nice to react well to the game because that would mean that Herman's learned something. The team has learned something. The ability to adjust has been made. And I guess if we're talking tactics and experience, the adjustment is probably more likely against Morocco than it is against two really experienced teams in Belgium and Croatia.
We are rapidly approaching 1 hour away from the final.
Well, what do you?
In very much in alignment. Yeah. I mean, I would certainly like this final appearance.
I'd like someone else to have their moment too. Like seeing Larin score would be cool. Seeing someone else put the ball in the net would be cool. Not that I don't want to see Davies do it.
I just don't want to come on here tomorrow morning and be like, oh, what a disappointment this World Cup was. I'd like to have a nice positive Friday where we talk about a Canadian win, a Canadian result, and another goal too. So Canada-Morocco, 10 a.m., Bills-Patriots this evening at 8:15. We'll be back tomorrow to set up the only Toronto sports game, which is Raptors and Nets on the road. And a special shout out. Good luck to the Vaughan Rangers Black U16 in their tournament this weekend. That was a request, and I hope they go in there and absolutely dominate.
Shout out to Vaughn.
Go, Vaughn, go. Thanks for listening to the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish will be back tomorrow morning on Have a Happy Baby Friday today.